This is the Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency with information for business and IT professionals. This episode is brought to you by ProXPN. ProXPN is a virtual private network that allows you to use the internet the way it should be, anonymously and without oversight. For 20% off your new account, go to proxpn.com/podcast and use the coupon code CIAOps. This is episode 53 with Leon Tribe. Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency. My name is Robert Crane, and for this episode, I'm joined by Leon Tribe. Leon, welcome.
Thank you. Hi, Robert.
Excellent. Well, Leon is what is known in the business as a CRM MVP, Microsoft CRM MVP. So what I've asked him to come along and speak to the audience about today is CRM, which in long form is customer relationship management. So that's what we'll get into shortly, but what I'll get Leon to do firstly is just introduce himself and let the audience know a bit more about who he is and what he does. So Leon, if you can do that for us.
Sure, my name's Leon Tribe. I work at a company called Oakton. It's a public Australian company, about 900 employees, and I run the Dynamics CRM team there. I've been working with the Dynamics CRM product essentially since it came out, which is about 6-7 years ago. And before that, I was working with Sage, SalesLogix, and ACT, which some of the listeners might be familiar with. Essentially, we implement the solution. Companies all sizes and across all industries. So from small, say, five user systems all the way up to, say, 500 user systems.
Cool. Well, like I said, one of the things that Leon did for myself recently was obviously present at the Desktop to Cloud Day we had a few weeks ago. And do you want to give us a bit of background and use that as a sort of a starting point to can start our discussions off? So if you can give us a bit of, you know, a brief summary about what you covered and why you, you know, sort of chose that topic, it'd be great.
Yeah, no worries. So what I presented at the event was, well, the title of it was Champagne Software and a Beer Budget. I think there's a perception that things like CRM software, programs like that are sort of for the enterprise, and there's not really accessibility for smaller organizations. And while that used to be true, the advent of the cloud means that that kind of software is much more accessible. And so what I did in the presentation was just sort of went through the software, also talked about the pricing of the software, because it is very affordable for the amount of power you get. It's definitely good value in my opinion.
Okay, so I mean, obviously, the work you do mainly is for enterprise. I mean, do you do it for, you know, the smaller businesses, the, you know, under 50s, under 5s, under 10s? I mean, you know, do you see that as a market?
These days at Oakton, it's more sort of at the larger end of town, I must admit. But certainly in the past, I've implemented Dynamics CRM for literally two people. So in one case, it was a couple of rural accountants, and they were just using it to manage their customers and manage their appointments as I moved around rural New South Wales.
So in that case, you know, as the smallest of the small, probably, what was their reason for wanting CRM? What, you know, why did they want, you know, a customer relationship management software?
In their specific case, there were a couple of accountants working out of rural New South Wales, and they didn't always catch up with each other as much as they'd like. So they wanted a centralized system where they could just see where each of them were, what they were up to, how the business was going. And CRM provided that. It allowed them to capture their appointments, integrated nicely with Outlook, so they could have their own Outlook calendar. Then that would synchronize up to the CRM calendar. And they could just see who were the customers that each of them were seeing, what kind of opportunities were available. And then they could help each other out. They could see, okay, so the other person in the business is working on a mortgage type deal or something like this. And then if the other person had knowledge of that, they could help them out. It just provides basically a central location so that everyone in the business knows what anyone else is doing.
So how did they implement that? Was that a cloud solution for those guys?
Yeah, so Dynamics CRM is available in three what they call deployment modes. So you can either run it on your own servers, which is arguably the one that costs the most up front, and that's what's traditionally made this kind of software inaccessible to the smaller end of town. You can also run it on what's called a private cloud. So you can go to someone and run it on their servers, or you can run it on Microsoft servers out of Singapore. And that's what's the cloud deployment, the online deployment. In their case, they were running it on the Microsoft servers in Singapore.
Okay, so obviously they were in the rural area. I mean, are there bandwidth issues did they find, or you know, what's that sort of experience? Because that tends to be the general hesitancy for a lot of people, and especially I would think CRM being a fairly intensive style program. I mean, is that a fair assumption to make?
If there are problems like that, you can get around them. So in that case, they were using the Outlook client. And the Outlook client comes in a couple of flavors for Dynamics CRM. You've got the one which always needs an internet connection. There's also what's called the offline client. So if I'm in the office, I can be doing my work, but then if I know if I have to leave the office and I might not have a reliable internet connection, basically I hit a button that says go offline. That brings down a little copy of my database onto my laptop, and then I can take that and go around and do whatever I need to do. And then when I come back in the office, just go back online and it synchronizes up the data. So if you can't rely on a good internet connection while you're out and about, that's one way to do it.
Okay, so I mean that certainly seems to be the commonality that many people seem to overlook is that many of the Microsoft products, especially you know the Office-based products like Outlook, do obviously allow you to cache information offline. Like Outlook can obviously cache your emails. You've got things in the SharePoint space like SkyDrive Pro now that can do that. Applications like OneNote can, exist in an off-premise style environment as well. So it's giving you that functionality, which obviously making it easier for businesses who may not have the internet all the time, or may have, bandwidth that is less optimal, to be able to continue to work, offline and be productive.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting time with software in that there is a sort of move to the cloud, but certainly people are being clever. And it's something that we need in Australia because we don't always have reliable internet everywhere outside of the main centres. And so there are those offline options for most of the software in the Microsoft stack these days.
So, these two guys as an example, but basically when you implemented CRM for them, is CRM a package that I do an install or I give them a login and I walk away and there's nothing more to do? I mean, how does a CRM consultancy or what's involved in a CRM implementation, especially in this sort of case?
So in their case, we went with the online version, and so to get it up and running is a very simple process. You can even start with a 30-day trial. So if anyone listening is interested in having a look at CRM and having a play with it, you can just go to crm.dynamics.com and you can spin up a 30-day trial. You don't have to provide any credit card details. You basically just sign up and you give it a login and away you go. Now, in their case, they did that. They had the 30-day trial. We helped modify it slightly. Over a day or two, we just added a few extra fields and did things like that. And that's codeless. And that's certainly something that if someone's got a half a mind to take on themselves, they can certainly do that. If you can edit an access form, then you can edit CRM. It's a very, very graphical drag and droppy type in configuration tool. And so we set it up for them in a sort of basic mode. Then they provided their credit card details to Microsoft so they could keep going after the trial. And then what happens is generally they were getting in touch with us sort of every say 6 months and saying, look, we've been using it, got some good ideas on how we can improve it. Can you help us out? And again, we'd sit with them for half a day, make the changes, and away they went again. And so it's not something that you sort of set and forget. Generally, it's something that as you use it and you get good ideas, you bring more into the system. Because it's not so much, traditionally CRM systems were sales systems. These days, they're more business process management systems. So if you've got a spreadsheet in your business, or if you've got an Access database and you think, it'd be great if I could make this available to everyone more easily than just say having it on a S drive or something like this in your business. CRM's a great place to put those kinds of, those spreadsheets. You can put them so that it's very easy to enter information, so it's available, and so you can search on the information as well. Some very powerful search tools within CRM to help you access that info.
So, I mean, do you need to be technical at all to use a CRM product? I mean, do you have to put your business processes and all that sort of stuff? I mean, how involved is that beforehand? I mean, do you need to, as a business, have a good grip of you know, maybe a paper-based or offline CRM that you've been using and just looking to automate it? I mean, does that get the best results?
Generally, if you're implementing from scratch, I'd certainly recommend getting a CRM partner involved or an independent consultant that's been recommended. With any software package, it's good to have the experience of the pitfalls before you go in. So if just for an initial setup, if you're doing that, I'd certainly recommend getting some advice from someone that's been there before. But once you've done that, once you've got the basics set up, it's very easy to manage and maintain. So if you're looking to add a field, there's no code involved in that. It's very much just a case of going to the configuration screen, hitting a new button, typing in the name of the field, saying the kind of field it is, so date field, etc., and dropping it onto the form. I'd say not very dissimilar to, say, an access form or something like that.
Okay, so, I mean, obviously the sort of data that's stored in a CRM system, you've got the traditional, obviously, you know, is it more than just, you know, basic contact, phone number, you know, information about the user? I mean, what sort of information can you store in a CRM that most people probably may not be aware of?
Really, the sky's the limit. So out of the box, you get three modules, effectively. And so the first module is your sales module, and that's storing the people you interact with, the organizations you interact with, what sales opportunities you've got in the pipeline, and you can track things like goals as well. The second module, we've got a marketing module. So from there, you can slice and dice your organizations and contacts you've got in the system. You can make marketing lists, and you can also send out sort of quick mass communication through that tool. Third module, you've got a support module. So if you need to raise support tickets and sort of manage the products you sold, or if you need to manage complaints or feedback, then you can do that with the third module. But you're not forced, you're not fixed just to use sort of those three modules. So to create what they call entities, if we're talking sort of database speak, create a new table, again, that's codeless. So if there's some aspect of your business, say again, it's the accounting business. So in the accounting business, we might want investments. So say we want to store against each of the contacts in the system, the investments they hold. And so I might need a new kind of investment record that sits under the contact, description of the investment, value of the investment. To set that up, literally, again, just a case of clicking buttons and typing in the text. So I'd say new type of record called investment. These are the fields, and it has a relationship to a contact like this. And that's, again, codeless. We don't need to go to SQL Server. We don't need to know SQL queries to make that happen. Just very graphical. So in terms of what information we can store, the answer is whatever we like. I've seen CRM systems used to manage elevator maintenance. I'm currently working with a non-government body to manage visits to doctors, so that doctors can become better educated about how they prescribe medicines. So there's a wide variety of industries that use this. And as I say, it's more so about managing the process of your business rather than, say, forcing you to manage sales or manage support tickets. It's just managing the process of your business the way you need to have them managed.
So you mentioned there, obviously, you know, you've got your different businesses using it. I mean, what's the sort of support for, you know, the non-Windows environment? So we're seeing, obviously, a growth in things like, you know, Macs. I mean, is that an inhibitor? Is that there's any limitations on, you know, in a non-Windows environment?
Up until quite recently, there were some significant limitations in that regard. So up until the end of last year, the only browser that was supported was Windows Internet Explorer. Fortunately, Microsoft have seen the light in that regard, and now most browsers are supported. So Firefox is supported, Chrome is supported, Internet Explorer is supported. If we're talking about a Mac, then Safari is supported. For the online version, so if the listeners will be going on the online version, you can also use an iPad, and there's a specific client designed just for the iPad for essential CRM interaction. So while it used to be a limitation, it's not as much of a limitation. If there are concerns regarding that, again, I'd certainly get either a CRM independent consultant involved or a Microsoft CRM partner, just to make sure that your concerns or the aspects of your business can be addressed with the CRM software.
Yeah, so you mentioned their mobile devices. I mean, how far does it extend out? You mentioned obviously the iPads and the iOS devices. Does it extend out into the Android world?
In principle, any device can be used. There is a very basic client called Mobile Express for CRM, for Dynamics CRM, which will work on any HTML-enabled device. Now, that's a very simple client. So if you're on the road and you need just the basic information about your customers, so what's their address, what's their phone number, you can certainly access that. Some of the richer features of CRM, so say working with support tickets, completing support tickets, things like that, and some of the aspects around that, routing support tickets to other people, some of those aspects are harder, you know, you basically can't access with the Mobile Express client. So even a BlackBerry device, if you need to sort of access the essential information, you absolutely can do that. In terms of sort of the richer client, then certainly, as I say, you've got support on laptop type devices or on laptops for the major browsers. If I'm talking an Android device, at the moment there you'd be limited to the Mobile Express. Microsoft have made noises that within the next 6-12 months they're going to have client, like app clients specifically for Windows, so Windows apps. They'll have a specific app for the Apple iPad beyond the browser they've currently got, and they're going to have an Android app as well. That's not available now, but it should be in about 6-12 months. We'll be seeing a specific app just for those devices to get a much richer experience.
Well, I think that seems to be the case across all Microsoft's products. I mean, the SharePoint space, I know they're coming up with 2013 apps. I know they've got Link apps out for the mobile devices. So one of the positives generally of late has been the Microsoft acknowledgement that, you know, people are bringing their own devices, and obviously the leaders in the mobile space currently are the iOSs and particularly the Android. And it's good to see them obviously working in that space and creating native clients to give people, you know, the best experience with the back end software. So I mean, are you seeing that as a demand or a request for most people that, you know, they want to have that mobile access, or is that just, you know, accepted as being the way it is?
Oh, there's definitely demand in the market. So if I'm going into a CRM deal, mobility is always mentioned. So can it work on an iPad? It's a question that is heard a lot. And so there's definitely a demand in the market, and Microsoft, as I say, they've addressed it today to some extent, but they're certainly investing a lot of dollars to make that experience as seamless as possible. Obviously, they're also bringing out their Surface devices, which will look to address it as well in a different way, which will be, you know, they want everyone to use a Windows tablet or Surface device, and then they'll build the experience for those devices as well. Whether they'll get traction in the market, I guess, is yet to be seen.
Well, I think obviously, you know, seem to be a lot of enterprises sitting on the fence waiting for a pure Microsoft device to connect to some of the enterprise software. So it certainly looks as though it's obviously coming from behind, but it does then have what would appear a fairly large opportunity in the market. So that certainly will be something of interest to see. So if we turn sort of back to the business side of the CRM, I mean, if I'm a small to medium business, what are the signs that I do need a CRM? What are the sort of typical frustrations I would be experiencing because I haven't got a CRM system or a CRM product in place?
So there's the typical business that's looking or needs a CRM has what I call a BONE implementation. And so what BONE is business cards, Outlook, notepads and Excel. So if you've run your business on those four things, so you've got a little pile of business cards on your desktop and you ferret through them every now and again and go, you know, what's that person's name or number? Or maybe they're on someone else's desk and you have to rifle their desk to find the business card. You're running your business out of Outlook, so you're trying to sort of suck the marrow out of Outlook to try and make it do everything. And even so basic questions like, you know, what was the last appointment I had with that particular contact? It's very difficult to ask in Outlook, so there may be frustrations in trying to extract important information like that. When was my last meeting with that client I'm seeing today? Scribbled notepads, obviously, so if you've got notepads, you've got lots of notes. And again, if the other people you work with have got lots of notes, then you're not going to have access to that. And so often we'll see with these kinds of BONE implementations, there'll be siloed information. We're not always across what other people are doing. We don't know if we can help them or not. And with the networks as they are today, so, you know, for myself, I've got a LinkedIn network, say, someone else will have a LinkedIn network. If I don't have access to the information, I'm not potentially being as efficient as I could be in reaching people and offering them my services. So often frustrations will be siloed information, lack of visibility to what other people are doing. There may be data quality issues. So I don't know if my Outlook contacts are as up-to-date as someone else's Outlook contacts. Then say we've got someone in the business that's generating a marketing list because we're going to be running an event or we want to send out a promo. We've got three different versions of the same person in our system, so we don't know which is the correct one. And so all these kinds of frustrations suggest it may be time to look at a CRM system. You also get the risk, I see this a lot, where you'll have the access system, the access system that sort of provides a sort of pseudo CRM functionality. And so you'll get Bob, who sits in the corner, and he's a bit of an access guru. And a little while ago, we said, if only we had a system. He said, I know access, I'll knock something together. And it sort of turns into this unwieldy sort of behemoth where everyone's got their own little point functionality and it's this access database. And the moment that Bob goes under a bus or he quits, and then the business is sunk because they can't get access to it, they can't modify it. They don't really know how it works. And so that's often a risk we see in the business, that they've identified they've got the one piece of software that sort of does a lot of functionality, but because it's not sort of built on any kind of a standard, it's just kind of sort of cobbled together. There's a palpable risk in the business. And the other one is where we've got literally hundreds of Excel spreadsheets, which are providing all sorts of different functions, and then half the people know where some of them are, and some people know where one of them is. And these kinds of frustrations you do see an awful lot. And the CRM system just allows us to bring all that information together in the one place, and everyone can see what's happening. And it's very easy to modify, and it's just built on .NET standards. So even if you're working with a Microsoft partner or you're working with an independent consultant, you don't have the Bob in the corner factor, because if for whatever reason it's not working well with them, there's plenty of other CRM consultants out there. There's plenty of other Microsoft CRM partners out there that you can engage with, and they can basically hit the ground running because the system will be familiar to them.
Okay, so I mean, obviously, you've got someone who's, got a frustration. They've got multiple systems and they're duplicating, and again, their business intelligence is typically with individuals rather than within a system. So let's say they've got all that sort of stuff, and obviously they're comfortable with it, but they are frustrated with it. They contact you, and then they obviously are keen to see the benefits of the CRM. I mean, what's sort of the next step? You obviously I need to go and talk to them, and they're convinced they need a CRM. But when it comes to the deployment, what are you looking to do? Are you looking to do a staged implementation, or we do an overnight or a weekend cutover? I mean, how do you bring this CRM system online within a business that has typically done things manually before?
One thing I'd never recommend is a big bang approach to implementation of CRM. So you do occasionally find the customer that maybe they've got very excited, maybe another vendor's come in and sort of riled them up. And they want to get everything all at once. And they say, we want everything in CRM right now. And and generally, what they find is that what they want 50 things. They only really need, say, 10 of those. And so when I implement CRM, and with discussion with other MVPs, although the general consensus is it's the most successful way to go, is you focus on what those 10 things are that are essential to run the business. You implement those 10, and then you provide a good foundation to build what's really needed. And so what will happen is you'll get your essentials of the business in CRM. People start using for a month and they realize they don't need those other 20 reports that they thought they initially needed, because they can just use the tools as users of the system to generate the reports ad hoc. They don't need to create formal reporting like they did in their old systems. So my approach is certainly a paced approach, a phased approach, if you like. Get the essentials in, get a good foundation in, and then build upon that. Once people are used to the system and they can see where the opportunities are in the business, it's so frequent. That we'll put a system in for one specific part of the business or for one specific, to solve one specific problem. And they'll say, you know what, we could use this for this other area where we've got this spreadsheet, or, where we're struggling to work out how to manage that. So in one case, I put in a system to manage committees. So it's to manage the committees that the business organized. And then they're saying, you know what, we're doing these HR audits where we sort of audit the floor, where it was sort of a government, semi-government organization, so they had to do these like safety audits. And so we've got no real system for that. we could do that in CRM. I said, yeah, sure, you could do that. And so they put that in where people could go into CRM, they could raise an issue if they saw a problem in the office, and then the automation in the back end of CRM immediately alerted the person responsible for that floor, and things could get dealt with, and it was all very transparent, and people could see where things were up to. So with that phased approach, you get the essentials in, but users just see where the opportunities are. And in that case, it was quite a large organization. But even on a small aspect, you're going to get the same thing. You might start out just managing maybe sales opportunities, your contacts and your organizations. And then you'll see you could manage, maybe we could manage that event that we run every month. Or maybe we could manage some other aspect of our business. So that's generally how I recommend approaching these things, rather than trying to get everything, spend a lot of money, and then finding you're only using a third of the system.
So obviously they've potentially got significant amounts of data floating around in all different places. I mean, what's the way to obviously migrate that data in? Is the CRM, for example, support just a simple spreadsheet import, or can you get into an Access database? I mean, how, obviously apart from typing it in manually, what's the quick and easy way to get that information into CRM if it's already in some sort of digital format?
There's a great import wizard that Dynamics CRM has, where if you can get it into a CSV format, you can bring it in. Also, once you brought in, say, the organizations, if you bring in the contacts, and one of the columns in your CSV is the name of the organization they belong to, it will do the auto-linking for you. It'll automatically link those records together. So certainly the import tools are very powerful. And often that's, especially if it's a system which might be a bit older and therefore you don't sort of have the connectivity you'd have in more modern systems. As long as we can extract it out to Excel or to CSV, then we can bring the information very easily into CRM. If you need to do something more complex, there's third-party tools. There's tools like Scribe. For the more technically minded, there's SSIS, where you can bring in the tools that way. They're generally a bit more technical, a bit more complicated. But at a basic level, if you can get the data into Excel, then we can certainly bring it into CRM. The tools are very robust and very powerful to do that.
So on the other side of the coin is, once you get the information into CRM, and how do third-party applications, or can third-party applications consume that data? So obviously, one would assume that it works really well with the Outlooks and the SharePoints and the Microsoft tools. But let's as an example say, what about a third-party tool that may be able to make use of names, dates, contacts, those sort of things? I mean, is that something that's easily implemented?
Absolutely. If it's if it's on premise, then it's essentially sitting on a SQL Server database. So CRM provides pre-configured views, so you can certainly access those views directly from the back end. Online, you can run Microsoft's version of SQL, sort of a fetch query, as they call it, and so you can query the data that way. And you've got a full web service layer. So if you've got an application that needs to chat to CRM in some way, you've got a full web service layer where you can chat through the web service there and extract the information out as you require, or even pump information in. So you've certainly got full access to the data and to the CRM functionality through those web services. But generally speaking, you can certainly access it through the filtered views if it's an on-prem. You can even set up things like dynamic, if you want to go low tech on it, you can do dynamic Excel exports. So what we can do in CRM is, if I, as a user, can filter, I can do queries using what's called the Advanced Find tool, very powerful search tool where I can search practically any field against the records and any related records. And then I can export that to Excel as a dynamic worksheet. And that means every time I open up Excel, it's going to have the latest data. I don't have to keep going back to CRM. And potentially I could use that as a low-tech solution to connect to other applications as well.
So there, obviously, that one of the other ways that Microsoft's going with a lot of these products, especially the online stuff now, is the implementation of a store, an app store, or whatever you want to call it. Does CRM have that sort of functionality, like an online store that they can pull in, CRM apps or add-ins or whatever? Is that part of the new CRM?
Yeah, so with the latest version that's out, so 2011, it's been out for a couple of years now. What Microsoft brought in was this idea of solution package. So before then, it wasn't as simple to package up functionality. Because they brought in the solution package, there's a lot of sort of third-party add-ons that are very easy to implement on CRM now. Now, there is what's called the marketplace. The Microsoft, that's a work in progress, to put it politely. So that what you got there is people advertising the kinds of add-ons that they can provide. But generally, what you do is you go to the marketplace, you search for a kind of add-on you're after, and then you go to that particular company's website to actually extract out the solution. The other great place you can go, and I get a lot of my solutions from this site, is codeplex.com. Codeplex.com is an open source site run by Microsoft, so it's kind of like SourceForge. And you get a lot of free open source add-ons to CRM there. And they're great little point solutions, and I use that an awful lot. So in terms of a sort of a turnkey app store, not quite. It's a sort of work in progress, but certainly you've got the marketplace where you can advertise, where there's advertisements for the kinds of add-ons you can add in. And once you've got those solution packages, it's very simple to implement them in CRM. You literally go to CRM and you hit the import button, and it imports in the solution package, and it does all the heavy lifting for you.
Okay, so but what about also from a developer's point of view? I mean, is it something that developers can write code against, and are you seeing developers out there writing code for CRM? I mean, is that sort of ecosystem available?
Oh, absolutely. So from the client side, we can run JScript against the forms, and we've got full event support for that. So on load of the forms, on save the forms, if field change on the forms, we can run JScript. So if someone's got sort of capabilities in JScript, they can certainly modify the form behaviors. And then on the back end, on the server side, we can create plugins. So if we've got people that are sort of .NET capable, they can write plugins, and so they can do all sorts of server-side actions. And in terms of how one does that, there's a full SDK that's published on MSDN, which has a lot of code samples and walks through a developer. And generally speaking, if someone's aware of .NET, then getting involved with .NET XRM and coding with .NET XRM is quite a straightforward path. It's essentially a .NET application, and so it's very easy to extend through the standard .NET technologies.
Okay, so there's obviously a lot of flexibility that's available now. What can you tell us about what's coming down the line? Obviously, you're talking about, I think you said the 2011 version is the current version. Obviously, we're 2 years, potentially almost 3 years perhaps forward from there. I mean, what sort of the next upgrade, when is it likely to come? What's happening in that sort of space?
Yeah, it's quite exciting times, in fact. So the next major version, which is sort of codename Orion, is coming out around 6 to 12 months. So Microsoft haven't released an official date for that. Speculation is sort of around sort of the September mark, maybe. If history is anything to go off, it may be closer to the end of the year. And there's a lot of functionality coming in that. And so what that'll also do is that'll provide the same functionality but in all three deployment modes. So at the moment, there's a little bit more functionality in the CRM online than there is for on-premise. So things like Bing Map integration, we have it on CRM online at the moment, but not for on-premise. But yeah, in the Orion one, all that functionality is going to be across the board. So things that are coming up for CRM in that major release, we're going to have Bing Map integration, so we'll be able to see our contacts and organizations on a map just straight out of the box. They've Microsoft recently purchased a social analytics company, so they'll be building that social aspect into the product as well. It's called NetBreeze, and so we'll be able to do social queries. We'll be able to bring those into the CRM system. And we'll even be able to mass market out to social networks directly from CRM. They've also bought a marketing company called Marketing Pilot. And what that's going to allow us to do is basically do end-to-end marketing through CRM. So it'll be fully integrated with CRM. So we'll be able to do document collaboration, probably on the SharePoint backend. We could then provide that to an advertising company. We'll be able to do mass marketing out of our system. We're able to capture the responses to that mass marketing, do the kind of analytics you see in those kinds of tools today. So work out who the people are responding, how long they've stayed on websites that we may have pointed them to, things like that. And those tools are certainly coming. You can get some of these things already with third-party add-ons, but yeah, these are the things that Microsoft are going to be bringing in natively into the system. And as I mentioned, they're also doing a lot of work with mobile clients. So we're going to be seeing Android applications coming in soon. We'll be seeing clients specifically for Windows 8 tablets. And, okay. And there's also things like Yammer integration, which will be coming very soon as well.
Yeah, so that's one of the things I was about to ask you about. Obviously, the premier social network for business probably is LinkedIn. And obviously, you've got the Facebook, which is, you know, the behemoth, the gorilla, you know, elephant in the room or whatever. How does CRM obviously work with those two third-party ones? And then you mentioned Yammer, which is obviously a recent purchase by Microsoft, and we're seeing that integration into Office 365 and SharePoint and those sort of things. I mean, how does the social side of things, because obviously Microsoft's, you know, getting on board with the social stream and integrating into SharePoint and all sorts of other different areas. I mean, how's that working in with a product like CRM, which is at its base, I suppose, really about, you know, the connections and the people side of things?
So when Orion comes out, we'll have the NetBreeze integration, which is potentially going to offer a lot of power. What I'm using today for that integration, there's a tool called Parrot by WebFortis, and that's free for the first two users. And that integrates with Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And basically, as a user, you provide access to your accounts, and then you can see those directly within the CRM system. What's really nice about the Parrot product, and this is the aspect of it which I promote the strongest, is let's say I see a tweet out there, or I see a LinkedIn post which I think is important to my business. Maybe it's something which is going to lead to opportunity to provide service. Maybe it's someone complaining about the kinds of things that I do. Then literally the click of a button in Parrot, I can convert that into a CRM record. So it might be a CRM sales opportunity. It might be a CRM support ticket, what they call a case. Or I can just bring those people in as contact records or organization records, so everyone can access get access to their information. So today the social integration tool of choice is probably Parrot. When NetBreeze comes out, when that Orion release comes out, so sort of I say in 6 to 12 months time, we may have other functionality. Microsoft only started to touch on that, but it's going to be looking at the analytics, and it'll be doing similar stuff, being able to bring that social world into our CRM system.
Okay, so a bit of a change of tact again here. Let's look at this from the, you know, maybe the smaller SMB style reseller who's traditionally done infrastructure, but obviously now looking to branch out into other areas. I mean, what do you see the opportunity for those sort of resellers? I mean, is CRM, you know, the with Microsoft something that's easy to get into? Is it something that has opportunity? You know, is a growing market? What sort of skill sets do you think they need to have, or expectations should they have, you know, around the product if they're looking to get into it?
As a reseller?
Yeah, basically. I mean, you know, let's say I'm a traditional reseller, normally used to, you know, fixing computers, but obviously looking to branch out. I've, you know, perhaps, you know, can do work with Access. I can work with, you know, the Microsoft Office products, but I see CRM as an opportunity. There aren't many people doing it in the space that I'm in. Is it something that I can get into as a reseller?
Yeah, I believe there's a what's called the cloud partner. Which is very, very low sort of entry point. I think you need to do a sort of an online exam, and you can try it as many times as you like until you get the right answers. And that provides you with a certain cut of sales, provides you access to Azure, which is Microsoft's platform as a service tool. So you get access to that at no cost or very minimal cost, depending on your use of the bandwidth. And you get access to the CRM product as well. So if I'm a small partner looking to get into this, probably the cloud partner program is the best way to go. And yeah, as I say, it's as I understand it, it's very easy to get into that cloud partner program, and then you can start reselling. In terms of the skills,
yeah. So I'm more interested. I'm more interested perhaps in the, you know, how much time would it take me to get up to speed? What sort of, you know, skills would I need to be a successful CRM partner, if that's the choice that I'm going to make?
Certainly those business consulting skills are essential, and they're the first ones. And so if I'm a small business, it's already talking to customers about how they run their business and what kind of technologies they can bring bear to their business to help improve the way they work. That's the big tick in the box as far as I'm concerned. If you've also got .NET development capabilities, that means you can stretch a product essentially as required. But in my experience, you can get the product to fit a business's needs probably to an 80-90% fit without writing a line of code. So it's really about those skills, those softer skills, in my opinion, about understanding how a business works, understanding what their true pain points are and what they need to run their business, as opposed to what they're asking for. So they'll always ask for the world, but being able to, having those skills to work out exactly what they need to run their business better and what's going to make the big difference in their business. So technically, I think that, in my opinion anyway, they're secondary skills. But as long as, if you have those .NET skills, fantastic. But as a business, this isn't something you just sort of turn on. If I'm a business that's selling Exchange, say Exchange, and what I do is I put in Exchange mail servers and then to a large extent walk away or maybe provide a sort of a distant support contract, it's probably not as good a fit to bring on CRM as someone that provides business advice or business consulting. I'd say that is a much better fit to the CRM implementation model.
Okay, so again, it's basically a tool to provide consulting services. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, it's a tool to help businesses manage the business processes better. And to that extent, speaking at that, if I'm a reseller that provides those skills, that I can provide sort of consulting skills around helping people run their business better, then I'm going to be a good fit for CRM.
And do you find that most customers, you know, are coming back, you know, weekly, monthly, or is it something, you know, it's sort of done as a, you know, we do a project for a month and you get obviously a lot of high interaction or constant interaction, and then, you know, they adopt that and absorb it, then they come back a couple of months later. Is that the normal, or is it, you know, something that's fairly constant in your experience?
Oh, no, I'd say it's the former rather than the latter. So you'll implement it, and there might be a lot of work up front to get that right. So broadly speaking, you do what's called a waterfall approach to that initial implementation. So you'd understand sort of the requirements of business very well. You say, right, well, these are obviously the essential parts. Let's implement those. And there'd be a lot of sort of high interaction up front. Then you get the base system in. They'll use it. And it could be that they'll use it for a month. And they'll come back to you and say, right, I've been using it for a month. Other parts of the business have said they need these extra 10 things. Can we put those in? Yes, we can. Or it could be, say, 6 months. And so they gather a whole bunch of feedback from the users, and then in 6 months I say, right, let's do another sort of major push. It really depends, but in terms of constant, sort of a constant interaction, you'll always be available. But in terms of sort of phases of the project, generally it'll be of the order of months rather than say days or weeks, certainly in my experience.
Okay, so I mean, obviously, the quickest way to get it up and running for probably the smaller end of town, obviously, is to go to the cloud-based solution, and that's obviously available through the Microsoft Online services. What's been your experience around the security side of it from a customer's point of view? Are customers, you know, concerned or you know, hesitant about the security of obviously putting their stuff, their CRM data into the cloud? And the second thing is that how do you go about alleviating those concerns? I mean, you know, what do you assurances can you give them that, you know, obviously their data is protected?
It's a good question, I think people are, or businesses are getting more relaxed about that than what they probably once did. In terms of security breaches, as far as I know, there's been no security breaches on the Dynamics CRM online network. In terms of how safe your data is, these are world class data centers. With very limited access, basically they're closed warehouses. A handful of maintenance crew can get into. In terms of providing assurance, the short assurance answer is Microsoft, in principle, should be able to run security better than, say, you know, most businesses out there. They've been playing in the space for a long time, so one would assume they have some handle on what they're doing. And so if you're looking to trust your data to someone, then a major IT player that's been in the market for decades is probably not a bad way to go. In terms of, probably the one that comes up a lot is the Patriot Act, and there's not a lot we can do about that if we're going to go with any American company. So the Patriot Act basically says the American government can request data from any American company whenever they like. That's a very, very short version. And there's not a lot we can do about that. What interest the American government may have in a small business's financial affairs is probably up for questioning. But that one we can't do much about. But in terms of general security and concerns about security, so any connection you have with Serum Online is via an HTTPS connection, so it's a secure connection. And certainly, there's been no broadcast of breaches to their online data center. With other Serum solutions, there have been. They're on the net and well documented. But with Dynamic Serum, it's not the case. Your data is secure.
Well, I think, again, it's one of those needing to compare apples with apples. And, again, I think that there's risk in any system. But, like I said, you're basically sharing that risk with other users who can obviously aggregate. Microsoft can aggregate their security resources and provide basically more bang for your buck than trying to, necessarily keep a CRM server on-premise secure. I mean, again, and apart from obviously getting CRM up and running and licensing and all that sort of stuff working, there's a significant cost in the implementation and maintaining and backing it up and service packs. So again, when you configure all that, basically the convenience is far more important, I think, to consider. Security is always paramount, but like I said, you've certainly got someone like Microsoft looking after that, which I think gives a lot of customers, in my experience now, a lot of assurances. I think that they're finding that trying to maintain that themselves is a fairly onerous process with all the patches and updates that need to be done. So interesting situation there. Just interested in your feedback, obviously, because dealing with cloud services. So, well, that's great. We're approaching our time yourself, Leon, today. So would you like perhaps just to give the listeners a bit of a roundup of what we've discussed and, the benefits of CRM and some tips and tricks perhaps in obviously implementing it or going about selling it to customers?
Yeah, certainly. So if you're finding in your business that communication, you're finding it hard to communicate amongst your employees, so people don't know what each other are doing, or you're finding that there's silos of information, you're finding there's a lot of spreadsheets that seem to be doing a lot of the work, and you're not sure what those spreadsheets are, or even, in fact, how many there are, then I'd certainly be looking at some kind of centralized data repository, and a CRM system is great for that. Not only does it allow you to centralize your data, it allows you to create standardized process for your business, so you can ensure that customers are being treated consistently, and you have transparency about their experiences. In terms of obtaining CRM, certainly you go to the online and you can get a 30-day trial, and it's literally just going to crm.dynamics.com and clicking a few buttons, and you'll have a CRM trial up and running with some sample data, so you can see the kind of things that it can do. If you are serious about it and looking to implement it, I cannot recommend enough that you get either an independent CRM consultant or you get a Dynamics CRM partner involved, just so you can avoid those pitfalls and so you can do things the right way. They're essential to the success of any project. There's plenty of people that try and do it themselves. They fall into a hole and it costs them so much more to dig themselves out of it than if they've just got someone just in for a week maybe or even a few days just to make sure things are set up correctly.
Okay, so I mean, just before we end off, and obviously you give yourself a plug about how well you do this sort of stuff, what should somebody be looking for in a CRM partner? I mean, what are the key metrics or key indicators that there's a good partner who's experienced with the product and is obviously going to do the right thing by them?
If they're a Dynamics CRM MVP, that's great. but there's not many of us around, right? So Dynamics CRM MVPs have got that award because they're passionate about the community, they're passionate about giving their knowledge, freely, or certainly making it available. They don't hoard their knowledge, but they're not always available. So if we're looking for another good partner that's accessible to us, I'd be asking for references. So asking them to provide you references of other customers sort of in a similar space that have worked with them. And probably a key question to ask, someone told me this and I think it's great advice, is not so much ask those references, how did this partner perform when things went right, but what did they do when things go wrong? Did they go that extra yard to help support us? You know, because every project there's bumps in the road, right? Anyone that tells you different is lying. So how did that partner perform when there were bumps in the road? Did they get all contract lawyery on you, or did they say, all right, let's work on this together? I think that's a great way to approach it. So certainly look for years of experience, like experience with the product. Get those customer references and say if there's some kind of independent verification of their passion for the product, such as the MVP program, all the better. I think that'd be great as well.
Okay, well that's like I said, a fantastic amount of information there. So this is the part where you can obviously let people know how to get in contact with you, how they can follow what you do, anything else that you know that you might want to plug about yourself and your business.
No worries. So as I say, my name's Leon Tribe. I work at Oakton. But look, as an MVP, I'm more than happy to provide information or certainly provide advice and information and free via email. So if you have any queries about CRM or if you're a bit curious, I'm not going to do a sales job. It's not what I do. Feel free to email me, leon.tribe@gmail.com. You can just drop me a query there. If you want to see the kind of stuff I do, you can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @leontribe. And you can also see, I also write a blog, so you can see the kind of things I write on those blog, which obviously a bit more than the 140 characters on Twitter. My blog is leontribe.blogspot.com. But yeah, if you have any query, have any questions, feel free to fire them through. More than happy to answer questions.
All right, well, I'll make those links available when we get the podcast up and running, and I'll sort of polish it out to the internet. And again, people can obviously contact you with any information or some further questions that may have come out of what we've discussed tonight. But I'll again take this opportunity to thank Leon for his the time tonight and the information that he has shared with us around the CRM product. And hopefully, as an update becomes available, we might be able to get you back on and just give us an update and let us know what's changed and what's new and exciting in this product space. Because I think that there is a lot of opportunity for businesses who may not have a CRM or may have a sneaker net style CRM running around with bits of paper and post-it notes and Bob in the corner, as you mentioned. So once again, Leon, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'll take this opportunity to thank everybody for listening to this episode of the Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency. This episode was brought to you by ProXPN. ProXPN is a virtual private network that allows you to use the internet the way it should be, anonymously and without oversight. For 20% off your new account, go to proxpn.com/podcast and use the coupon code CIAOps. To provide feedback on this podcast, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.